it's in his control. Sometimes he just takes care of the problem. And then sometimes he just takes care of you, get you through the problem.
Amen. And I'm thankful that he knows the difference in those times and when we need what we need now. I did at a scripture, book of 1 Corinthians, and we talked about that. Well, we'll look at another idea today about not moving, and I want you to take your Bible and look, if you will, in the book of Galatians in chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1, the letter Paul writes to the church there in Galatia as he's given these folks some reasons to not get away from things that they'd learned and the things that they'd been told and the things that they'd been preached to about. So that's the idea this morning. Again, and we're going to talk about don't move. And I want you to look with me, if you will, in the very first chapter of the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. And let's through 5, just basically an introduction. Paul just introduces himself and those that are with him and the things that he normally says. But in that introduction, you can tell he's going to be addressing something to them that they need to hear. Talking about, you know, how that in verses 3 and 4, he talks about how that he normally says grace and peace, you know, to you. But then he talks about Jesus. He says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God and our Father. I mean, he's giving you a little bit of an idea there that there's something he's about to address. There's something he's about to say and give them, you know, some info that they need on this idea. There is something going on with them. And look what he says in verse number 6. He says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel you again for the giving us this time and this fellowship and the good spirit of God here this morning. Dwell, give us your good grace and the blessings of heaven. Continue to do that this morning. Just stir our hearts and draw us up close to you. Let us rejoice in those things that you have given us. And Lord, just let us praise you and thank you for everything that you're doing. Begin, bless the time, bless your word. Draw those to you that need a closer walk, that need to come and fall on their faces and confess some things and be broken in their hearts and love on you and let you love on them and save that one that's lost. Just have your way here with us this morning, dear Lord. And again, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I say we won't preach on that thought and that topic again of don't be moved. Don't move. I mean, you know, you and I, we hear somebody say that a lot of times. Don't move. I mean, you know, there's a spider over your head. Don't move. There's a danger in your way. Whatever it is, they tell you not to move. And you know what the best thing to do is? Stand still and don't move, right? Well, I want to tell you this morning, hey, there are some things in your Bible that we're admonished not to move from. And one of them this morning is found in these verses that we read. And I want to preach to you this morning about don't move, but don't move away from the gospel of grace. Do not move from the gospel of grace. Brother Ronnie was teaching us this morning in our Sunday school class, and the idea that he was on was the idea of the unity, of the oneness that we find. And he used some verses in the Bible there that he talked about in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4, where Paul says, you know, there's just one Lord, one God, one faith, and one Father of all, and da 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 da. All those things. They talked about the seven different things that are bring unity in the church. And let me just tell you, brother, there's just one gospel. There is just one gospel. I don't tell you, I believe there's just one book that God sent down for us. I believe He's just given us the Word of God through the King James Bible. Thank God. I believe there's just one thing that the Lord has given to me and you as our instruction in this world. Amen? We've got that one. And I'm telling you today, don't get fooled and move from the gospel of Christ. Now, you'd say, well, preacher, here it is, 2026, and you've got all kinds of different thoughts, and you got all kinds of different denominations, and you got all kinds of different preachers and people, and all. Yeah, we got that. I believe there were many of those, maybe not as many as there are today, but there were many of those same things, same problems and issues that were there in that day when Paul had preached. But can I tell you, when you look at it, you see that Paul had the same admonition. He said in verse number 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, but you've moved to another gospel. Amen? Another gospel. I want to tell you again, real big, loud, and plain, there is no other gospel. Now, when you look at the writings here that Paul does in the book of Galatians, it's got 6 chapters, and you'll notice this. If you don't split it up, and this is just a little something for you to think about, chapters 1 and 2, Paul gets and tells a lot of things that are personal to him about, and especially some of the things where he has been attacked and where he has been people have told that what he said was wrong and where, you know, he could be corrected and all that. So the first couple of chapters, it is personal to Paul. I mean, he talks about, I can't preach to y'all, and now somebody else is telling y'all something, and they're trying to tell you, oh, I'm wrong, and that you should follow them, and all that. He gets very personal with it. And I want to tell you, nothing wrong with that. That's the way the Holy Ghost led him. That's the way the Holy Spirit let him pin it down. And in chapters 3 and 4, he moves from it being very personal to being doctrinal. You can go into those chapters, and you'll see where Paul begins to talk about how, you know, he talks about things that wind up being doctrinally sound, and how that they should be doctrinally sound. I want to tell you, you get doctrinally sound, and you won't have to worry about moving too far from where you got anchored in the first place, right? So get doctrinally sound. Get you some doctrine under your belt and do that. And then in the last couple of chapters 5 and 6, you see that Paul gets into the practical. And that's normally, you know, Paul's writing in Ephesians, first of it's doctrinal, and the latter part's practical. And you know, that's just kind of a pattern. That's the way the Holy Spirit does. And I'm going to tell you, it all makes sense, right? I mean, there is the doctrinal, but don't live up there in that ivory tower all the time. Don't live up there and say, oh, this is what it says in the books. Let it get down and live in your shoe leather. So that's what Paul has done here in this writing in the book of Galatians. So we're looking in the very first part of it, as I say, where some of these things are a little bit personal, but Paul is trying to help these folks to get a greater and a clearer understanding of their salvation that is only by grace through faith. Amen? Can I tell you this? I think we got some folks today that need to hear the same thing over and over and over again. You need to be reminded you're saved by grace. Plus nothing and minus nothing. It is by the grace of God. You can't help God. You can't do anything to get you in. You can't do anything that will add to your salvation. It is all paid for by Jesus Christ. We sing that song every once in a while. Jesus paid it all. Thank God, can I tell you, He did. And all to Him I owe. I mean, I couldn't do anything for myself. And let me just tell you, hey, there's nobody else that can do anything for you outside of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is really emphasizing this. And I want you to notice just a few things out of these verses that we look and see what Paul is saying. First of all, I want you to notice in those first few verses that we read, verses 6 and following, you'll see that Paul talks about an amazing turn for those people in the church at Galatia. I mean, he's amazed by what he said. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul said, I'm just flat out amazed. Doesn't it shake you up sometimes or bother you or you get your eyes lit up anyway when you see somebody that says, well, I used to be a Baptist, but now I'm following blah, blah, blah or this and that, or I've gone to some other kind of religion, whatever it may be. Brother, that just makes my eyes look. I'm thinking, how in the world, and I say Baptist, I'm talking about biblically sound doctrine, and people get off out into left field somewhere. Isn't it amazing when you see that sometimes? I mean, they have just plumb got away from the basic doctrine of the Word of God. And I'm just telling you, Paul said, I just am in an amazed state of mind when I think about how in the world you folks got moved from where that you were. He said, I marvel. And that word marvel means to be surprised at something that was not expected. I didn't expect this. Oh, listen, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people in the church and things happen to them and they get out. And you know what? Sometimes I'm surprised. I've seen marriages break up in a church. And you know what? I've sat there and I've looked at Sister Judy and I've looked at Sister Lynn and I said, I never would have expected that to happen to them. I mean, I'm just surprised. But guess what? Nothing surprises God. Amen? He never gets surprised at any of the things that happens in our life. But Paul said, look, this is an amazing turn in the events that I expected. And sometimes it is for us. When we see somebody that loses their place of faith, it is an amazing turn of events, isn't it? It's an amazing. Paul said, I just marvel that you so soon. Do you see that? He said, it's happened so soon. At first, I want you to know that he is saying this. Look, I mean, this is something that's unexpected. And then look in verse number 7. He said, but I know why it came. It's because, he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, I know where it came. It is from some adversarial teacher. There are some people that are teaching some stuff that goes against the Word of God. Amen? I mean, you just hang around long enough, watch your TV or pick up a magazine or a book or listen to the radio, and you can hear somebody that's, as I say, off out here in left field. They're telling crazy, weird stuff. And I've even seen it in Baptist churches. Well, we're going to tell you that way. You're out of the Bible. Get back in the book. Study the Word of God. I mean, don't go there, because you need to rightly divide the Word of truth, right? So I want you to notice, though, that Paul winds this thing up. And we'll get a little bit further here in a minute, but he winds it up there. And he says, I do want you to know that the gospel that I've given is an absolute truth. It is the absolute truth. He said, but though we, in verse number 8, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you other than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. He said, and just in case y'all didn't get that, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you've received, let him be accursed. God deal with those that would mess up the Word of God. Amen. That's what he's saying, man. I mean, this is some stuff that Paul was looking at. And he said, I want y'all to know there is no other gospel than the one that I preach to you. And that's what he said. And it's not because, Paul's not saying because it's me that preached it. You see what he said there at the end of verse number 6? He says that you've gone from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You see what he says there in verse number 7? Which is not another. Amen. There is no other. There's not another gospel. Now, can I tell you that big, fat, and plain? Oh, well, we've got some new revelation. Well, I just want to tell you, you're wrong. This holy word of God is complete and it's settled and it's finished up in heaven. And thank God, hey, all I got to do is look at it, read it, preach it, and go with that. Amen. That's what we got to do. So Paul is admonishing this church. So let me just think about this with me, if you will. Ask yourself this question. And Paul says it in verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God? He said, who am I? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Ask yourself this question. Who are we trying to please with the gospel that we preach? Who are we trying to make happy with our preaching? Who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to get to gather unto us? I mean, what are we trying to do when we preach? That's what Paul is saying. He said, are we preaching? Do I persuade men or God? Am I trying to get on men's side or am I trying to get on God's side? Amen. You remember what Moses asked that question in the Old Testament. And he said, who is on the Lord's side? And there were several of those men of the different tribes that lined up with him. And thank God the earth opened up and swallowed all the others that were there standing opposed to him. So guess what? I want to be on the Lord's side, don't you? I mean, I want to get on with him and where he's at. Or ask yourself this question. Paul says, am I seeking to persuade men or do I seek to please men? Ooh-wee, we got it today where preachers want to many times try to please the men and women that are in the crowd. Well, I can't say this, it'd hurt their feelings. I can't say this, they might leave. I can't do this because they're good givers and I better not offend them. You know, we get like that sometimes. Shake your head, because it happens, amen? But I'm telling you, Paul said, I did not come to please any of you. I came, my purpose was to please the Lord. He said, if I yet please men, he said, I should not be the servant of Christ. If I'm here pleasing men, we might as well just have playtime and ask for stories and let you do whatever. Let's blow bubbles and eat cookies and go home, amen? But that's not why we came. We came to exalt Christ. We came to preach the gospel. We came to worship a living Lord. We came to sometime come fall on our face, confess our sin, get our hearts right with God. And I'm telling you, son, get in here where we can fellowship and worship a living God. Amen. That's what we come for. I hope that's what you come for. And I'm just telling you, let me ask you another question. What is the origin of the gospel that we stand upon? You see what Paul says here in verse number 11? He said, but I certify you, brethren. He said, I absolutely, with a stamp of approval from heaven on it, I guarantee you that the gospel which was preached of me is not after a man. He said, what I got, it didn't come from a man, from a group of men. It didn't come from the preacher's union. It didn't come from the college of, whatever theology. Hey, he said, what I got didn't come from there. What is the origin of the gospel that you and I stand upon? What kind of teachings or what kind of books is this gospel based upon? Oh, well, Dr. Bottlestopper, you know what? He might have a degree, he might have a name, he might have an education, and I got nothing wrong with that, but I'm telling you, it better line up with this book or it's wrong. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's the way that it is. And I'm telling you, I can be wrong if I'm preaching anything else other than that. Paul said, man, anybody else preaching anything else, you better watch them. You better realize that they are accursed from the Lord God of heaven above. Hey, that it ain't right. Amen. And can I tell you, it goes on today. As I said, sometimes all you got to do is turn on your TV and flip through a few channels and listen to a few things and you hear some stuff and you say, man, I don't know. Well, somebody tell you. And I've had a person actually tell me that a lady was talking to me, and this has been years ago, and she said something about, the preacher told her, and I said, well, what does the Bible say? And honestly, she told me, she said, well, I don't know. They told us not to bring our Bibles to church. They would tell us what we needed to know. You hear somebody telling you that, you better back up. You better get you a Bible, because what you're hearing may not be the gospel truth. Amen. Amen. And I told that lady, I said, ma'am, let's me and you sit down here and let's look at the Bible. As a matter of fact, I'll just tell you, they told her that she could never be saved because she got a divorce from her husband. I said, ma'am, that's not right. Well, that's what they told me. I said, well, let's look and see what God says. I said, the Bible tells us there is no sin that God will not forgive. And there's nothing that, and I said, a lot of us, me included, we've been pretty rotten, hadn't we? You know what? He forgave me and he cleansed me. And my Bible tells me that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. And thank God for that right there. Amen. I'm just telling you, sometimes, hey, a man can lead you astray. Paul said, don't y'all know something? What I got didn't come from some group of men, some backroom decisions, some high board of executive thinking of a theology group. This came right from heaven. Amen. So, you know, what kind of stuff are you basing that on? Where are you teaching? What are your books? What is that? What is the gospel that we declare? And what is it teaching about the Christian life and God's amazing grace? What are the teachings that you're getting about those things? Now, there are some people who get some weird teachings on all that, right? I mean, they get out there and they tell them, you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to jump through this hoop and crawl through this hole and be this amazing standard that I'm putting up here. I don't live up to it, but you got to. You know, that's the way that some religions and some so-called preachers and whatever do. Hey, you better realize this. We are basing what we do upon the Word of God and that alone. Amen. You're saved by grace alone, and we're standing on the Bible as our authority alone. Amen? I ain't add no other books to it. I ain't got a new revelation. I didn't find a pair of glasses out under a tree somewhere and have an angel open up some golden tablets and then mysteriously let them vanish somewhere else. I'm telling you, I'm saved because my Bible said I can trust Christ and what he's done for me. Amen? And that's what Paul is trying to tell these folks. They have had, and if you go back and read the theology and the commentaries and the thinkers on this kind of thing, they say that there has been an infiltration into the preaching and teaching in this church that, yeah, Paul was just partly right. He told you about grace, but you've got to add the works of the law to it. And especially he mentions that there are those that are teaching that you have to be circumcised, as the Old Testament shows, and in a type and a fashion. In the Old Testament, God was showing it as a shadow of when he would come in and cut away that from around a man's heart and give him a new and a living heart. And that was just simply an Old Testament shadow and type of something that God was going to do in a New Testament kind of way. But they were teaching, oh, you really got to do that. Well, Paul's okay, but, you know, he's not all okay. He's not 100% right. You need to listen to us. So Paul begins to get into this question, and there will be some things that he wants to bring about here to let them know how that they really ought to look at this thing about the grace of God. And I want you to notice there's a few things. And if you'll flip over to your Bible and just look with me a little bit further in the book of Galatians in chapter number 5. Paul said, you know, there are some things that these people are teaching. There's some things that they're saying that is the gospel, which is not the gospel. He said, and I'll tell you, there's some stuff that you better be careful about. He said, there are going to be some issues. And here he says in chapter number 5 is the first issue. Chapter number 5, book of Galatians, he says this in verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The first thing is, you see that in Christ we have liberty and there is no bondage. I mean, listen, he talks about down through this section through verse 15. He said there are those that want to try to get you to be justified by the works of the law. But he said it doesn't work, it has never worked, and it will not work ever again. It's because of what Jesus did and faith in him and the grace of God that you're saved today. You and I have a liberty in Christ. You see how he starts out chapter 5? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherefore or wherewith Christ hath made us free. Don't get tangled up in a bunch of you got us and you order and I'm demanding and I'm commanding. Hey, can I tell you? Stand free in the liberty that comes through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what Paul is saying. Paul has spent some time, as I say, before this to tell chapters 3 and 4 about some doctrinal issues. But now he just gets down and says, look, here's the practicality of it. Stand fast and realize there is liberty. Jesus said, if the Son makes you're free indeed. Amen? And you notice, you go back and read that where Jesus says that in the Gospels. He did not say, if the Son sets you free. No. He said, if the Son makes you free. There's a difference being set free and being made free. Amen? You might get let loose from jail, but you've been set free, but that don't make you free. They could come get you again and say, well, we just let you out on bond. We just let you out for a little while. You got to come back. But when they come down with a decree that says, I don't condemn you, I find no fault in you because of Christ, thank God, you've been made free. Amen. You've been made free. And Paul said you can stand fast in that kind of liberty. But not only that, you'll see a little bit further on there in verses 16 and following through the end of this chapter, you got the idea or the thought of the Spirit of God versus the works of the flesh. I mean, what are you going to stand in? Paul said this in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. You see what he says after that? He said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. He said, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen? You're not under the law. Praise God for that. Just realize that today. You're not under the law. Right? I mean, we got rid of that. I mean, we was talking a little bit before church, Sister Barbara, about, you know, some of that stuff. And listen, I can eat all the hog meat I want. Woo! Hallelujah! What do y'all think about that? I mean, bacon. I'm talking about sausage. I'm talking about pulled pork. I'm talking about ham. Woo! Some of y'all getting hungry, right? But I'm just telling you, hey, the Bible says here, you stand fast at liberty, and you walk in the Spirit. You don't have to, you're not under the law anymore. You're not under that legalistic conditions. You're not, and God did all of those things for the people of Israel. And again, they were there to show them some things, to teach them about sin. But thank God, when Christ came in, He made us free. Amen. He set us free. We're not under bondage anymore. And listen, we should be walking as in the Spirit of God. That's what he said. The walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Woo! If you'd just walk in the Spirit, man, we'd all be better off if we'd walk in the Spirit. Amen? Over back in the book of Romans, if you want to flip over there with me in Romans chapter number 8. Most of y'all know this. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Paul says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Hey, there's no condemnation. Jesus is not going to condemn you. You walk in the Spirit. I mean, you live in the Spirit. You have a Spirit-filled life in Christ. And thank God, hey, you're in good shape. Amen. And if you don't, you're probably living in your flesh. You know what he says there in verse number 18? He says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. He said, now the works of the flesh are these. Your flesh will try to do works. And here's some of those things that your flesh does. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Amen? Does that sound familiar to anybody in this room? In other words, you've been there. I'm telling you, we've all been there. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 that we've all been there in our time past. We've all walked in that mess. We've all lived life. But thank God we got sent out of that mess when Jesus saved us. Amen. By his amazing grace. Amen. He said, and I've told you, I tell you, as I've told you before, I also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. You live in that mess. You live like that. Your heart's not changed. You're in the works of the flesh. But look what he said. But the fruit of the Spirit is. Amen. Lawrence is singing that and telling that to us here a couple of weeks ago. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hallelujah to that. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the way that the Lord wants you to live in the Spirit of God. And not in the way of your flesh. Not in the flesh, because it gets you in trouble. And don't you notice this, as he says in chapter number 6, in the very first 10 verses or so, he talks about how that we see that it's how we ought to serve others than we ought to try to serve ourselves. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And he goes on and he talks about, look, this is not about you. Can I tell y'all something? We checked it this morning, and you're still not at the center of the universe. Amen? Did that just pop your bubble? You're not. The sun is still out there in the middle of our galaxy here, where we are. Brother, the sun's still in the middle of everything. And I'm telling you, in heaven, the S-O-N, sun, is in the middle of everything. It ain't you, and it's not me. None of us. We get so selfish that we don't want to try to help somebody else. And Paul says here, bear one another's burdens. This thing's more about others than it is you. And can I tell you this? If you'll help somebody, hey, there'll be a day when there'll be somebody there to help you when you're in one of those times, when you're in one of those situations, when you're needing prayer, where you're needing to be lifted, where you're needing the help of a good Christian friend or a good Christian brother or sister. Thank God, they'll be there to give you the help that you need. And let me tell you, friend, hey, we're to think about others rather than us. You know, somebody said, what do you think about that? And we use the word joy sometimes, J-O-Y, joy, and that stands for Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. J-O-Y, right? That's the way that it ought to be described. You and I ought to seek the Lord first and then help others and bring them along this journey, encourage them. As he says here, bear those burdens. If you think you're spiritual or if you are a spiritual person, go help somebody. Here, you know what we do? You're down, let me kick you a few more. Wow, let me give you another. That's the way we do. Amen? Church usually winds up shooting their wound. We ought to be helping each other. Rather than when somebody's down pouring it on them, we ought to be helping them. That's why Jesus gave that parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, the Jews hated the Samaritans, but Jesus made the hero of his story a Samaritan. And then he asked that fellow that had asked him a question about who's my neighbor. He said, well, let me tell you a story. He told him a story about the priest went by, the Levite went by, didn't help a bit. He said, but there's a Samaritan. A certain Samaritan came that way. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and he poured in the oil, and he put him on his animal, and took him and paid his bill and done all that. He said, now, who do you think was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? He said, I suppose he that showed mercy. And Jesus said, you got it. Go and do likewise. Amen? I mean, listen, we're here, and Paul is teaching that others, we ought to see others before we see ourselves. All right? Others instead of ourselves. So, you know, this is what this word, what Paul has given them, it is declaring about having a Christian life, and what you're supposed to do because you're a fellow worshiper in God's grace. This is what you're supposed to have. You're supposed to see others. Then one last thing, real quickly, look what he says at the end of it in verse number 11. He says, you see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. He said, somebody else just won't come and make a big show out of it. Right? He said, but God forbid that I should glory. What? Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What is Paul saying? Well, last of all, he said, we see this thing is about the glory of God and not the praises of men. I mean, we're here to give glory to God, not to seek the praises of men. Not for them to say, oh boy, you're the best preacher, you're the smartest fella, you're the best dad, you're the blah, 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 blah. Listen, I mean, that's nice when people congratulate you or help you or bless you or whatever they do. But, man, let me tell you, this thing's all about God's glory. Every time you see Jesus, as he does whatever he does, somebody says something to him, he'll say, hey, it's the Father in heaven. It's our Father. And when he prays, what did he say? If you go back and see most of Jesus' prayers, Jesus lets them know he's praying to the Father. I'm praying to the Father. I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll send a comforter. Father, he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said, this have I done, Father, that they may glorify you. Amen. What do you say? I'm saying that, man, this thing is about God's glory. Paul said, I don't have anything to glory about. Verse number 14. But God forbid that I should glory. He said, except I'm going to glory in the cross of Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, because by that, the world is crucified to me and I'm crucified to this world. This is a thing, if you're worried about the glory, give it to God, because it don't go to you. You haven't done a thing. Simply by the grace of God that you're going. Amen. Oh, there is no good, the songwriter said, nothing good in me I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Amen. Hey, I don't know where you are this morning. This may seem a little scattered, a little short. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, don't move away from the gospel that the Lord Jesus has given to us and that Paul preached, that Peter preached, that John preached, that the other disciples preached, that the men that came before me and you preached, and that by the grace of God, I'm going to keep on preaching. Amen? Let's not move. Don't you dare move. Paul said, I'm amazed. I'm kind of surprised that you have been so quickly, so rapidly removed from that gospel. Amen? You're so soon removed. I marvel. I just can't believe it. Let me tell you something. I don't want to see anybody move from the saving grace that we find in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not good enough. You can't do nothing. It's not of you. It's all of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a song, if you would, this morning, please. Maybe you're here today, and there is something that